The Oracle Network. Look deeper.
What's up? Welcome, welcome. I'm Abby.
And I'm Sha.
And this is Anxious
and Afraid.
Episode 43.
We're still here.
Hey.
Heyo.
Still reporting live from Evacuation Zone 1 in a hellscape.
Yep.
Nuclear fallout zone.
Exactly. That is our current environment.
It's supposed to be hot, but all the smoke actually makes it really cold.
Yeah, it covers the sun, so luckily we actually don't even need the AC on at this point. So.
No, our house is cold. Like, I'm actually like, do we turn on? It's only like 65 degrees in the house. I'm like, do you turn on the heat? That seems wrong.
That seems weird.
That seems counterintuitive during a fire, but I'm not sure.
Blankets and sweatshirts get cozy.
We've been layering up for sure.
Yeah.
Well, we're recording the second episode today. We're
doing another double, which is our new normal. Is this our third in a row?
I don't know.
No, because we did just our two, guest one.
Yeah,
that's right. But now we keep doing these double ones because we need to do things.
So yeah, we're still vibing with that energy,
right? By the time you hear this episode,
hopefully everything will be fine.
Well, and I'll already be 30.
Ew,
that's disgusting.
Ooh, yikes! And so I'm just kidding. And they're gonna be the best years.
Yeah, that's going to be my actual prime, right? My actual...
That'll be your Optimus Prime.
Optimus Prime. Yep.
Yep.
No. It's fine. It's
yeah.
Fine. It's just weird. It's just weird.
It is. But it's fine.
It's fine.
Hopefully by the time we catch up, we won't be on fire anymore and things will be better.
We'll have a vaccine.
Okay. Get a little ahead of yourself.
There's so many things. Anyways, but since we're still on today, and since we're back for the first time recording us together, we're kind of celebrating our 1 year of doing the podcast.
Yes.
Still. So we just had a cake. We just had some sparkling cider.
We still have some. I'm trying not to burp. It's hard.
It's real hard. That's our struggle.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, I thought it'd be cool for like our 1 year because I did at one point ask people to ask us questions and only two people did, and it's fine. But we answered one that was Jesse's, and then there was this one that I didn't want to leave hanging, and I thought it was a really good question for this time to reflect over 1 year of doing this, which is so weird. We were just talking about how I'm like, I don't think I've committed to something so long. I don't know. Besides, like, you know, chat or whatever.
Yeah, fully. And
it just seems interesting that we've done it for so long. It's weird.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, so this is a question. And the question is, what inspired you all to come together and create this podcast?
Oh, wait, who's that from?
That's actually from Cody King. Cody, we should say.
Okay. What inspired us all to come together
to create this podcast? Like, do you remember? I think we were both questioning it the more we talked about it.
I think we were both edging around saying we wanted to do it, but we both kept, like, making jokes or, like...
Like beating around the, like, bush about, like, not seriously.
But wait, are you serious? And I'm like, wait, are you serious?
But, like, would you do that? Like, is that your dream?
And I'm like, wait, is that your dream?
I'm like, I actually had a dream last night, and it was so cool that we did it. And we're like, okay, I think we should do it. I actually remember having that dream, and I think it was me telling you that dream that we're like, okay, let's actually say that we're serious about this. Let's try it out. What would our song be? What would our title be?
Wow. Came to you in a dream.
Literally.
Yeah.
Spooky.
Ew.
Oh, my God. It was meant to be.
Yeah.
I foretold it in my dream.
And then we forced Michael into it, and he's here, too.
And he's still stuck with us.
We need a skeptic and an engineer, so...
He's the perfect balance.
We couldn't have asked for a better engineer. And honestly, big props to Michael, because he has never been an engineer on a podcast before.
Right?
And so
he's a good job.
He's learned everything. He's, like, he's quick learning curve.
He, like, edited our song together to make it cooler.
Yeah, he's done a lot.
He's pretty creative.
We appreciate you.
Get out of here.
He can't take the praise.
Nope. Yeah, he can't take a compliment.
He's used to us being mean to him.
Yeah, that's also true.
He's more comfortable with
that.
That's
also very true. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. We were like, listened to podcasts. I for the longest time did not listen to podcasts.
And I didn't listen to them for the longest time either. Michael was the OG podcast listener. He was listening to podcasts way before they were cool.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, you listen to podcasts? Okay, that's cool. But now,
Yeah.
So you're a hipster.
When you're doing mind-numbing work, it's nice to have
also true
a voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because when you were doing like janitorial stuff, you would just listen to it.
Makes sense.
Oh, for hours and hours.
Makes sense. With our job now, it's so nice to have podcasts to be able to listen to.
Yeah. It's easy to be able to listen to something as we work. I don't know. So now we can endlessly listen to podcasts all the time.
Yeah. But yeah, it took me a minute to come around to listening, and then I became obsessed.
Yeah, you made sure I got along, and you were like, you need to listen to this podcast called My Favorite Murder, and I'm like, okay, deal. And we're hooked.
Yeah, that was a nice, easy entry one.
Yeah,
and we realized that branch out from there.
Exactly. And we're like, wow, I'm a Georgia for sure,
and you're and a Karen. And I'm definitely a Karen.
for sure. Yeah. That's pretty much it. Then we're like, let's do this.
And I feel like we didn't even realize that we knew that we would bond over true crime, because that wasn't something that we had really been super into before that point either. I think
that's also true.
Pretty like recently, before we started talking about a podcast, we were starting to finally like bond over true crime and like sharing which shows we were watching, mm-hmm. which we hadn't really done previously. We'd really only talked about ghost stuff and like
true
ghost hunters.
True. But now Netflix, there's so many things.
Yeah.
And I was dabbling into it. And I've always been interested in it. I feel like moms, sisters, I've always been into that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I checked out creepy books in the library. It's fine.
It's fine. We're totally sane. It's fine. But yeah, you're totally right. I didn't even think about that. I wasn't really like that enthralled into it until like podcasts. And then I'm like, okay, I need to watch everything. Everything's fascinating. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
You're totally right.
Yeah, crazy.
Cool. Look at us.
Ah,
1 year.
Happy 1 year, y'all.
I think we've grown a lot in 1 year.
We have. We're like streamed in, I think, 50 countries now, which is cool.
Yeah. We have a really decent following on Instagram and our downloads. And we've just improved, I think, our episodes a little bit.
Yeah. Not
hopefully
as uncomfortable anymore.
We don't hate ourselves as much, but still hate ourselves a little bit.
Yeah, you know the struggle. The drill.
Struggle.
Well, shall we?
I think we shall.
Okay, so I know it's been a while since I visited this topic, and since fall is approaching, unfortunately not fast enough for me, I thought I would do a spooky ghost story.
A spooky ooky?
Ooh, spooky. And in honor of our beautiful ravaged state, I thought we should do a local case.
Nice.
A very local case, in fact. Do you have any guesses?
Oh, wait. So this is ghost.
Ghosts, very local.
I don't know. Like, how local? Like, how far? Like,
within, I don't know, 15, 20 miles?
Oh,
would you say?
Oh, I don't know.
Tell me. I'm not going to know.
Okay. Today we'll be telling the story of South Eugene High School's haunted auditorium.
What? Wait.
Have you not heard this one or heard about it?
Wait. And was this, okay, didn't you do an art project, or was that a different school that you were doing a project with?
Project.
Do you remember being in a
gym? That was Marist. The rich ones.
Okay, that's right. The rich ones.
The private school. I did I did a giant backdrop for a play at a private school, and it was a very eye-opening experience.
But you said this was South Eugene High School?
Yes.
Okay, when we were in high school at Thurston, were we at a state competition there?
Ooh, I don't know.
I think we were. I thought South Eugene was part of a competition. I think we were there.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I plucked a lot of high school out of my brain.
Me too.
But I think we were there. Somebody let us know if we're right. If you listen, let me know if I'm right. I don't remember.
Brittany? Brittany, are you listening?
Were we there?
Tell us.
Anyways, okay, cool. I did not know this was haunted.
Yes.
Cool.
Yes.
All right. Haunted school. Why is aren't our school should be haunted? Unfortunately.
I know. Sadly. It probably is.
It probably is.
I feel like most auditoriums are haunted.
Auditoriums. Oh, interesting. Okay. You know. Tell me all about it.
All the theater. The theaters are always haunted.
Oh, I got. Okay. So this is a theater. For some reason, I was thinking like a gym.
Like the gym. Yeah. I understand where you would get confused, but it's like the theater.
Oh, I love that even more.
Yeah. Because we were in theater so much.
Yes.
And you always get weird vibes in theaters.
Oh, and there's like nooks and crannies everywhere.
Yeah, like, and it's just like shadowy and it's echoey and big.
Yeah. Okay. Tell me all about it. This is so up our alley. Okay.
I know.
Oh my God. Okay.
So I brought along a book that I borrowed / kind of stole from Michael's mom called Oregon's Ghost and Monsters. And it's by Mike Helm. It's the same book I referenced in the haunted Hasita Head Lighthouse episode a while back. Go listen to that one. It's real creepy.
Yeah.
Remember that ghost, Rue, I think was her name?
Yeah, I think that was back in October. That was like one of our earlies.
Yeah, it was one of the earlier ones.
Oh, my God.
Okay. So, the book has a story that was originally published in the Register Guard way back in October of 1974.
74, okay, 70s.
The book was written by a fella named Mike O'Brien. The story was written by Mike O'Brien, who interviewed staff and students with firsthand accounts of the paranormal events they had witnessed.
That's so cool.
Right? So I'm actually just going to read you guys that story straight from the book because that's kind of fun. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like ghost story time.
Camp story.
We can all pretend like story. We'll get marshmallows.
Except for we're in the campfire.
We'll just hold the marshmallows up to the forest.
Because we're
dark. It'll be great. Let's all gather around. So first I'm going to give you a little backstory before we get to the spooky ooky story.
Please.
Beginning with South Eugene High School, which was originally just called Eugene High School when it was built in 1953.
Okay.
But then along comes another Eugene High School 4 years later. And because creativity in naming schools isn't apparently an option, the new school was named North Eugene and the other was now named South Eugene High School.
So original.
Are we having fun yet? Well, don't get too excited because I'm going to tell you the list of the most notable alumni.
Oh, no.
From South Eugene High School.
Okay.
According to their website.
Okay.
I know. Get ready. Okay. Actually, some of these are cool. Neil Goldschmidt. He was a former mayor of Portland, also governor of Oregon, and secretary of transportation in former President Jimmy Carter's administration.
Oh. Shit, what year was he?
He graduated in 1958.
58.
Huh. Cool. Yeah. So, and John Kitzhaber, another Oregon governor.
Yep.
Graduated there in 65. A guy named Richard Smith, a nation-known jazz musician.
Oh.
Haven't heard of him. Tim Hardin, who was an anti-folk war singer who performed at Woodstock.
Oh, nice.
In 69. He graduated in 60.
He lived the life.
Sean Flannery and Dustin Lanker, who are the saxophonists and keyboardists for the ska band, which has the most, I hate this name. They're called the Cherry Poppin' Daddies.
Oh.
You've heard of them, right? Yes. They're like, they always play around here local.
Oh, now I get it. Yeah. I mean, I know that they play here locally. Okay, yeah, I totally heard of them. How funny.
I hate their name.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
It makes me uncomfortable. Oh, Corin Tucker, who was the lead singer of the Riot Girl rock band, Slater Kinney, graduated in 1990. Starstruck, right?
I'm flabbergasted.
Starstruck. I didn't write down one, but there was a woman... Oh, man, I can't remember her name. But she apparently had a role in, what's the show with Larry David?
Curb
Your Enthusiasm. Yeah, she played like the mother-in-law of his character or something.
Ooh, that's so cool.
Yeah, and she graduated from South Eugene.
Oh, hey.
But she's like an old lady now.
Oh, that's so cool.
But still acting. stars.
Stars all around.
All around. Who knew that South Eugene could produce so many musicians? There's a lot of musicians. It's crazy. Actually, the list on Wikipedia was much longer, but you don't need to hear all of that. Okay, their mascot was the Axeman, but in 2018, it was changed to just the Axe to be more inclusive of all the students who played sports and competed, which is kind of nice.
Oh, gender neutral.
Yeah, I guess at first they were like, well, how about we have the Axemen and the Axewomen? And they're like, that's dumb.
There's still more than that.
Yeah, they're like, first of all, that doesn't cover all your bases. And second of all, now you're having to create double the merchandise and stuff.
doesn't sound as good.
They just like took gender out of it. And so now they're just the Axe.
All right, cool. Good for them.
Yeah. And another thing I read on their website, the whole school got wireless internet in 2013, but we can't have it at work.
We can't.
That's fine.
Why? Happy. Why can't we?
I'm happy for those youths.
I don't understand why that isn't just like a given thing around the whole world.
I mean, I'm sure it's like they probably can't just use it willy-nilly. Everyone would look at porn.
Everyone already looks at porn.
Hello? That's what would happen at a school if everyone got free wireless internet. It would just be porn all day.
You can do restrictions, but I think that internet should be, everyone should be able to access the internet. That's yeah. That's how I feel.
Yeah, I agree.
All right.
Anyway, speaking of youth, let's get back to our story because I'm out of South Eugene High School fun facts. So the year is 1958. It's springtime in Eugene, Oregon, and when Robert Turnbull Granke woke up that morning, Tuesday, Granke, that's the name, Tuesday, March 11th, he thought it would be a day like any other.
What year is this?
1958.
Okay, we're in the 50s. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Robert Granke was a 16-year-old sophomore at South Eugene High School, and he did work in the school's auditorium.
Cool.
I couldn't find anywhere if he liked to perform. But I do know that he did maintenance around the theater. Well, Robert had a job to do that day in the auditorium, and it would require climbing the tall ladder up the auditorium wall to get to the catwalks above the stage where he needed to replace some of the light bulbs.
Mm-hmm.
This wasn't anything out of the ordinary. The lights were often, you know, going out. They needed maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
So at around 10 a.m., while the auditorium had about 30 other students in it, I'm assuming for a class, mm-hmm. Robert makes the long climb up to the catwalk where he begins performing work on the lights. According to an article written by Kristen Shelley in the Oregon Daily Emerald, Robert was walking along the catwalk, and to cross from one catwalk to another, you have to scoot along a 6-foot long 2x6 board to get to the other side.
What?
So you're just like, it's like a board like this wide,
uh-huh.
and it's stretching across these two catwalks with just nothing in between them.
Like a board just connecting your step to the two catwalks.
Yeah, and so if you, there's just air below.
I don't like that.
Yeah, you're just kind of, you have to be nimble, quick on your feet.
I don't like that, okay.
Yeah, I said no, thank you. Well, poor Robert lost his footing. And the ill-fated boy plummeted towards the ground, but not before he first crashed through the plaster ceiling of the auditorium.
Oh, no.
After crashing through the plaster, Robert then plummeted 55 feet.
Oh, no.
To the metal-framed theater seats below.
No.
Sadly, Robert Granke died.
No.
Almost instantly from extensive head trauma and a broken neck.
Whoa.
He is sustained from the fall.
This was the 16-year-old?
Yeah.
Oh, sad.
Just a baby.
Sad.
Apparently, the seats he landed on, row G, seats 10 and 11, were dented from the fall.
Oof.
And weren't replaced until 1994.
Okay, that's not chill, you guys. You Come replaced on. That shit.
Come on, guys.
Someone died there.
Yeah, it's like the arts, we know the arts don't get a good budget, but I mean, it's
they
insulting.
They don't, but that's...
That's insulting.
Not okay. That's not chill.
Right? Just keep the... Oh, that's no. so dark.
Mm-hmm.
Also awful was the fact that all 30 of the students who were in the auditorium witnessed the horrific accident.
Oh, traumatizing.
To just see a fellow classmate fall through the ceiling?
No.
Because, like, I can just picture that in our theater. Like,
oh, yeah. That's what, I mean, I'm picturing our theater because that's what I know best yeah. in my brain.
Ugh, terrible.
Creepy.
Perhaps it was because Robert's death was so sudden, or maybe it was because Robert really loved the theater. Whatever the reason, his spirit never left the South Eugene High School auditorium. Mm-hmm. At least, that's what countless staff and students have come to believe over the years.
Okay.
Now I will read you a story with some of the accounts I mentioned before. I'll wait while everyone gets their marshmallows ready. Mm-hmm.
Get put them on the stick. Everyone. And you rotate it over the fire. You've got to make
slowly rotate.
Perfect golden brown.
Unless you like it burnt, because I like it burnt.
People, I'm a golden girl.
Let that shit burn, and then you eat the top layer off, and then you burn it again, and then you eat that layer off, and then you burn it again, and you eat that layer off, until it's just the little marshmallow core, and then you eat that too. That's how you make it last.
What side are you on? Are you team burnt marshmallow or golden marshmallow? You need to tell us somewhere.
I like the best of both worlds. I like to have my cake and eat it too. What can I say?
You're disgusting.
I'm ashamed.
I'm surrounded by Virgos. They're a bunch of anal retentive.
We're perfectionists. Yes.
Yeah. Must have the perfect cook.
Makes complete sense.
I'm go with the flow, baby. Mm. I'll eat it however. I'll eat it raw.
I mean, I'll eat it raw.
Raw. Is it raw? Is that what you call it?
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. Getting the book out. Wait, I need a drink.
Okay.
Okay, this is going to kind of be hard.
Yeah, tell me about it. We're so out of our, like, Ooh. Norm.
All right. Are we ready? Oh, I have a hair in my mouth.
Oh, yeah, I've been recording this whole time.
Oh, okay. Oh, cool.
Cool, that's fine. All right, here we go. Story time, everyone. Up above the ceiling of the South Eugene High School auditorium, between the ceiling and roof, is a huge space full of scarred and ancient exposed beams, treacherous little catwalks that creak, narrow little corridors, and low passages. Mm-hmm. And through that space, along those beams, catwalks, corridors, and passages, move somebody or something. A manifestation, a presence, an indefinable thing. All right, let's just say it flatly. A ghost. Whatever it is, it doesn't confine itself to the above the ceiling area. It's been seen, felt, and experienced elsewhere in the huge auditorium by enough people that few would consider spending a night alone in the empty, echoing building.
Creepy.
I always like think about our theater every time they talk about this.
And I can picture that still happening because of like residual energy or residual ghosts kind of would re-experience that trauma or just kind of like repeat. I don't know.
Yeah.
But interesting.
Whoever or whatever it is apparently had made the auditorium its uneasy home since sometime in the early 1970s. Some of the most chilling tales about it come from David Nail, who's been South's drama director for about 3 years. Nail's a rational sort who, along with others who've experienced the being, can put forth a number of pragmatic explanations for the sinister things he's seen or heard about.
Okay.
But none of these people seem completely or even partially satisfied with their own explanations. Others don't even try to find any. One of the latter is Maxine Nielsen Walton, who graduated from South Eugene last spring. It's a feeling you get when you're working there, that somebody is with you. Something is watching you, she says with an edge on her voice. And I don't think it's a friendly presence. Ooh. Nail claims to have no opinion about what the thing may or may not be. He does agree, however, to deal in speculation. And then he gets down to cases. Many people aren't aware of the huge space between the ceiling of the auditorium and the roof itself. What I worry about as a faculty member is unauthorized people getting into an area where they're not supposed to be. So whenever there's a noise up there, I have to go up and look.
Ooh.
If I had a dollar for every time I've been up there after a noise I've heard, I'd be able to retire by now. The space might have been designed by a madman. The way up is by ladders nailed to the walls through queerly shaped trap doors and along narrow, dusty corridors. The area itself is so broken up into odd, unpredictable little spaces that it's difficult to know that you're there even after you've arrived.
Yeah, it sounds like a little nightmare.
It's dark, of course, and even when the lights are up, there are still some shadows that won't be banished. Eeriest of all are the little openings from which a person, or anything, may peer out undetected and watch everything that goes on in the auditorium below.
Gross.
Ew, it's like a little Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah, you're right.
Is Gerard Butler in South Eugene?
Gerard Butler, are you there?
Gerard, are you living in the ceiling?
Gerard.
I can't even tell you how many times I've seen Phantom of the Opera. It's embarrassing.
It's good.
Love that movie.
We're not theater nerds.
I don't love musicals. That's dumb.
Musicals are so good.
So lame. I mean, love them. Okay. It is up in that rabbit warren that Nail has to go whenever he hears a noise. But he has never found anyone up there. This despite doors and trapdoors with special locks, despite sending several people up different ladders, despite staking other people out at the bottoms of the ladders, and despite conducting thorough searches. Once, though, he thought he'd found something. Nail was investigating one of the many noises, but when he got to the area above the ceiling, he found that somebody down below had forgotten to turn on the lights up there. But he knows his way around that area, so he plunges ahead. Then I saw what I thought was somebody wearing a white shirt, he says. Yeah. And I thought, aha, I've got someone this time. So I followed this thing. I could just barely see this kind of glow, and I was following right behind it in the dark.
Ew.
I thought it went through a door, but when I followed, I walked right into a wall. When the lights came on, I saw I was a good 10 feet away from any door. Ew.
You have chills.
Nail says, without visible emotion, that manifestations of varying kinds have happened at some time during every show I've directed here. He has taken a number of precautions, including installing more trapdoors, putting heavy iron bars on conventional doors, and buying some special locks. None have worked. You can still hear something moving around up there, he says. Mrs. Walton tells of strange proprieties disappearing during rehearsals for The Bad Seed, a play about innate evil. Just stealing shit. In 1972, and of people seeing something in the back of the auditorium. But far more chilling was an experience she herself had when she was an assistant director for Man of La Mancha, which is a musical, I guess.
Okay.
When you're assistant director, you have to wait for everyone else to leave. Then you have to lock up. I was doing that one night. Sorry, page turn. When I looked up, to the balcony where there's a walkway through the seats. There was something blue up there. It was elusive, but it was a blue type figure up there in the balcony. I just froze. Then I went back and got the director, and by the time we got back, her voice just trails off. The thing that scares so many people so often and so unexplainably makes itself known during the summer too, if Vicky DeGaz experiences any indication. So she and another woman were running the light board for the summer musical West Side Story in 1973. They arrived at the auditorium early one afternoon, 5 or 5:30, to check out the light cues, which just brings me back to, like, Footloose, because I remember doing all the light cues for Footloose.
Yes.
Up in the light box is crazy.
I did that for some shows, too.
Yeah.
I liked kind of the back behind-the-scenes stuff.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, so fun.
So this is her saying, you have to make the place completely dark to do that, and then bring each light up individually. It's easy enough to make the auditorium completely dark, since it has not a single window anywhere in it. The two women were by themselves in the building, with Miss DeGaw standing alone on the dark stage, and the other woman bringing up the lights one at a time. And then, says Miss DeGaw, I started hearing footsteps, very distinct and very deliberate.
No.
When she says that, it is impossible not to think of the loose, creaking planks in the huge, echoing upstairs area. The footsteps Miss DeGaw heard started in the ceiling at the back of the auditorium, she says, and came progressively closer. At first, I couldn't quite bring myself to look up there, but the footsteps kept coming closer.
No.
So I looked up into the opening in the ceiling at the back of the house, and I saw these things that could have been legs passing in front of the opening, and then they disappeared.
Ghost legs!
Ghost legs! Then, even though we couldn't see them anymore, we both heard the footsteps coming closer and closer. We dropped everything and ran.
I would.
Yeah, bitch. That's what you're supposed to do.
Coming up at me, I'm not staying for that.
You just gotta run. Mm-mm. Now, more than a year later, Miss DeGaw's eyes still get large when she talks about it. So do others. Jeff Arnold's do when he describes an inexplicable and frequently reoccurring manifestation of the thing. Arnold, who graduated from South in 1973, first mentions the almost standard, quote, funny noises and have no cause or reaction. He figures he experienced them 9 or 10 different times. Then he talks about visible aspects of the thing. Quote, you walk onto the stage and flick on the lights. Then you see somebody sitting in the balcony or standing behind the back row on the first floor.
No.
That's happened a lot.
No. Just imagine. I can just picture it. Yeah, because we've been on stage. And you see nothing but chairs, but you see like a shadow person in one of them.
Through the lights because they're really bright.
Disgusting.
The thing is, there's no way anyone can get in without a key. And there's no way anyone can get out without a key. But no one's ever been found.
Wow.
There are a great many other stories about what it is or what it isn't in South's auditorium. Stories about complex lighting systems being disrupted and drums being tampered with though the building has been locked all day. Mm-hmm. And stories about people's names being called by an eerie voice. Ooh. And one melodramatic story about a brick falling from the ceiling. What's especially disturbing is there's no bricks in the structure of the auditorium.
Wait. So that actually happened. There is an actual brick fell?
This is a story. I have no idea if that's true.
Okay, but we're imagining that it is in our world. So that's creepy.
Yeah. It says there is simply no reason, except possibly a malevolent one, for any bricks being there at all. And to really get the feel of how shattering an experience with this phenomenon can be, imagine yourself in Paul Martin's place. The time is the summer of 1972, and Martin, a theater technician, is working on the set for the Lane County Auditorium Association musical production 1776. Nice. As frequently happens when you get involved in a show, you stay particularly late one night, long after everyone else and the crew has left. All alone in that huge building, you keep fiddling with one particular effect on the set until finally, in the cold, still hours of very early morning, you get it the way you want it. Pleased with your success, smiling, and perhaps even whistling or humming, you leave the stage, as Martin did, the hard heels of your shoes setting up as little echoes as you walk out into the auditorium. You sink into one of the big, soft red seats about midway back in the building. You settle back, basking in the solitude, totally alone. And then the lights go out.
So dramatic.
And that's that little story from that book.
Oh my gosh, good.
But we're not done. I have some more recent stuff too.
Great, love it. I want to hear all of it. They even said red seats, which we had red seats. Mm-hmm.
I know. Okay. Let's see. Let's find my spot. Okay, now that we've finished up some of the older accounts, I'll fill you in on some of the stuff that happened after that book was published.
Okay.
So remember that remodel I mentioned before when they finally replaced those dented seats?
Yeah.
Which was in the 90s?
Right.
It was during this remodel that the theater attempted to claim another victim.
Whoa.
A handyman was working up in the catwalk area when he also lost his footing and crashed through the auditorium ceiling, just as Robert
literally
had.
The same thing.
However, this guy must have said his prayers that morning because he limped away from the accident with only a broken foot to show for it.
Wow,
which is insane. I feel like Robert's ghost would be like, what the fuck?
Yeah, he probably totally landed just wrong.
Just the worst way.
Yeah.
Or the other theory is people are like, well, maybe Robert saved him.
Well.
Or pushed him.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Think about that.
Robert, you sneaky bitch. Yeah, so, but, you know, just a broken foot. That's not too bad. Ghostly reports have also continued well into current times. In the Oregon Daily Emerald article, the activity was described as such. Mysterious noises, such as strange creaking and footsteps, have also been reported, usually emanating from the catwalk where Granky took his last steps. Once, a custodian heard a piano playing in the locked theater after hours.
Ew, that's like classic
creepy. I know,
creepy.
No fucking thanks. Ew! Some claim to have heard their names called by an eerie voice in the empty auditorium. A variety of students and faculty over the years have reported seeing someone sitting in the old balcony or standing at the back of the locked auditorium. But when they check, no one's there. And no one can get in or out without a key.
Gotta have that damn key.
Gotta have that damn key. The theater teacher at the time, Joe Zingo.
These names.
It's Zingo. A theater teacher with the last name Zingo.
Mr. Zingo. No.
He's probably like, please, call me Joe. But also Zingo. Call me Joe Zingo. So Zingo, who had worked there for 14 years at the time of the interview,
dang,
was quoted saying, our lights always go off and on, and the ghost doesn't like heavy metal music. He'll turn off the music or the lights if heavy metal's on.
Okay.
But Zingo didn't seem too worried, saying, every theater has a ghost. Indeed, Zingo. Indeed.
I believe it.
And that's the story of the haunted South Eugene High School auditorium.
I love haunted theaters, and we have our own.
And it's, like, actually a well-known one. Like, I feel like with a lot of ghost stories, you have a vague idea of maybe what happened. They're like, mm-hmm. Oh, it was a bride on her wedding night.
Right.
And there's no actual verifiable proof that that's, but this is, like, real. Like,
yeah, that's verifiable.
Yeah.
Totally. Don't go on that catwalk.
God, that would be a terrifying job.
I can't do heights like that. Nope.
I know heights, and it's just like very claustrophobic. It's like
skinny
claustrophobic.
And small.
Yeah, and all of the narrow, like, passageways and corridors. It sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah.
And full of spiders, I bet.
And probably smells bad and dusty.
Oh, it smells like feet for sure.
Oh, everything.
It smells like
feet.
Hormones, like teenage hormones.
High school theater does not smell good.
No, it doesn't. Oh, the smells. Do you remember the smells of the room with all the costumes in it?
Yeah, like upstairs.
That was a smell.
Mm-hmm, the couches.
Oh, the couches.
Good times. Good times.
People totally had sex on those couches. I mean.
Totally.
Throughout the years.
I mean, what are you going to do with kids?
So gross. Kids are gross.
Can't control them.
Can't control them. They're just
especially
horny.
Theater kids. You really can't control them. We were. I don't know how our teacher dealt with us. Especially if you look back on it at his age, he was so young.
Young.
We're older than what he was when he was dealing with us in high school.
Oh God.
And we were dramatic.
So dramatic.
As fuck.
So maybe that's why he could. He still had. He was young enough to get it still.
Probably.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know.
Oh, man. Anyways, good story, Abby.
Yeah,
story.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a fun little ghosty.
That is a fun little spooky ooky.
Yeah. Who doesn't love a good ghost?
I don't know. Crazy people.
Yeah. So what do we got to talk about?
Oh, my gosh. So you know how 2020 is horrible?
I hadn't heard, but sure. Continue.
There's just like a, you know, you can make like a, you know, book about all the things that's happened. literally the only, well, besides our wedding, because, I mean, obviously that was a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm an OG Killers fan.
Yes.
You know this very well,
yes.
I imagine.
The band.
Yes. Correction.
Mm-hmm.
Clarification.
She is not, in general, a fan of Killers.
The band.
Murderers.
The Killers. Correct.
I'm an OG fan of murders.
I was not even thinking about that.
People are like, Jesus, okay.
Wow, hilarious. Right. No, Brandon Flowers, that band, love them to death.
Yes.
I love their new album. It's
yes.
Front to back, so good.
Mm-hmm.
I highly recommend. I love them a lot. They were the best concert I've ever been to. I can confidently say that.
Yeah, one of their albums is like our high school soundtrack. Spaceman?
Yeah. They literally have had like an album out every time I've gone through some sort of crisis.
Nice timing for them.
Yeah, so they've always gotten me through life. So they're getting me through 2020.
Who have I been listening to? Orville Peck. Oh my God, I love him. I hadn't thought of any other music ones. I think that's it. I want to say that's it.
Do you want to do, like, shows or
other things? What am I watching? Oh, Michael and I have been watching Alone, which is, like, a survival show. Oh. It's on Hulu. It's also on Netflix. We watched the Antarctic season.
Ooh.
The Arctic?
Alaska.
Not Antarctic. Just Arctic.
Cold.
It's cold as fuck. Ice. Yeah. And it's so brutal. But, you know, I feel like I'm learning a lot, and these skills might come in handy soon with the state of the world. So... I mean, I'm good with it.
If we can get to Christmas, if we can get to there, which just seems like so far away, but too close at the same time.
Yeah.
Give me survival kit stuff.
That's what you want for Christmas?
Especially for all, like, everything that's happened. We're like, we are not prepared. We have no flashlight except for our phones.
Oh, my God.
I mean, now we do. We found it. But when we needed it, I couldn't find it. Yeah, we're not prepared at all.
Okay. Well, we'll try and we'll get you something.
Rope.
Yeah, we'll get you a rope.
Give me
I'll get you a flare.
I got some ponchos already. That's all I got.
Some hand warmers.
Hand warmers.
You might batteries. Need a flint.
Oh.
Do you know what that is?
Nope.
Gotta start fires. Spark it.
Yeah, because I can't.
Or a lighter, but you know, lighters run out of
true
fuel. Anyway,
you won't survive.
So yeah, watching Alone, we fast forward through the gross parts.
Oh, okay.
Like the animal slaughtering.
Oh, ooh, ouch, that would be hard to watch.
Can't handle that.
No.
But yeah, what have you been watching?
I'm gonna recommend a podcast, but I wanna say that like I'm not listening to the last one that I recommended. You kind of shot me down last time.
Wait, which one?
Remember when I recommended a sword and scale, I think it was?
Oh, no. Are you still listening to it?
No.
Why?
I have too many others that I'm keeping up with. I just find it hard.
Oh, I didn't mean to shoot you down.
Oh, it's okay, but you did. But anyways, just kidding. But this one, okay, so you know, this is the ones I like to binge. So I like hearing or finding out about podcasts where it's like about one case and it has like 8 or 10 episodes. I found another one called The Clearing. It is about like a serial killer dad. He was also on some creepy like old 70s game show.
Oh man, so many game show contestants.
Yeah, it was very interesting. It's from his daughter, and that's the ones I love usually is like the kids of the murderers kind of like how their process of coping with the fact that their parent did horrible things.
It's just awful.
I love hearing their perspective or like they meet with the other family members that they affected. I highly recommend that kind of shit. It's so good. So The Clearing is the podcast I binged literally, I think, in 2 days. I usually always do it in 2 days.
Nice. Love it.
But definitely that. I definitely listened to that one. So I recommend that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Good Rex.
I guess it's my turn.
Yeah, you have to do it.
So this is where we are in the interweb world. We're on Instagram, Anxious and Afraid, The Pod. We're on Facebook, Anxious and Afraid, The Pod. We're on Twitter, at AA, The Pod. We also have a Patreon. That is patreon.com/anxiousandafraid. We have an email. Tell us if you are Team Burnt Marshmallow or Team Golden Marshmallow.
Yeah, tell me if you're Team Burnt or Golden. You tell me.
You can email us or wherever at anxiousandafraidthepod@gmail.com. We also have a cute little website called anxiousandafraid.com. And if you can rate and subscribe, that is also super helpful. Spread the word. Spread the love. Buy some merch. We have that link on our Instagram and website as well. We have some newer designs that are pretty cool.
Ooh, ooh.
So check that out. And
I'm going to say, I'm going to say, first of all, burnt marshmallows forever and also give it up and good night.
And gold marshmallows.
Burnt. We'll be right back. All right, citations. So I have that great book, Oregon's Ghosts and Monsters by Mike Helm. I read an article from the Oregon Daily Emerald by Kristen Shelley, and I went on the South Eugene High School's website. I also consulted Wikipedia. Music by Broke for Free and edited as always by Michael.
Anxious and Afraid is partnered with the Oracle Network.
Do you have an obsession with true crime? Are you intrigued by the mystery and the rabbit holes surrounding unsolved cases? And can you appreciate the snark and humor of an exhausted mother of two young children? Then you should click subscribe to Naptime Nancy Podcast. Throw on some Baby Shark for your kids or pet or partner. Slide your headphones on and join me as I talk some true crime during nap time. Available on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Audioboom, and other listening apps.